I don't need your approval, Dad. I'm my own man. I want to talk about furries. Hello and welcome to The Answer's a Lemon, the smartest icebreakers from the dumbest dudes. You want better conversation? You want to stop being boring at your next work gathering? Well, why don't you get a ticket with your God of Odd and find some weird answers to some weird questions? I am joined with your God of Odd today, Connor.
Yep. Here, I'm doing my oddest. I want to show up even weirder than usual. I'm putting extra effort. I've been normal all day on purpose just to try to save up all that odd energy.
The things he does for you. And I am your humble host, Evan. I've been laid up. My back's still in pain, so I'm not really living a life anymore. So I don't have any fun, weird anecdotes to tell you. So I'm going to just jump right into our first most important question of the day. How you been, Connor?
I have an anecdote attached to how I've been.
Oh, shit, buddy.
I am doing pretty good. Work's going all right. And we can't talk about the weather, so we won't. But what I will say is I have very much enjoyed the latest installment in Super Mario Brothers side-scrolling fun. I don't
is
know,
that
Evan.
The Wonder Game?
Wonder. Yes.
That's I wonder how fun. It is.
Ha-ha.
Robot joke.
It's very refreshing because it's really irreverent, and there is just no way to explain it other than everyone being on drugs.
Okay. Is it what way is it irreverent? Like fart humor, or as in like we've taken the Mario mold and said fuck you?
That, yeah, it's that. It's like let's not be so precious about the Mario stuff anymore. Like, you know, we don't need to protect Mario, or, you know, like treat him with kid gloves. Let's just have fun with it, and we're just gonna do a video game where we purposefully make everything weird every level at least once. It's been nice.
I love everything about that. That sounds fantastic. The only Mario game that I've ever played is the one for the Game Boy, like Mario 2, the coins.
It's like you fight an old one.
You fight Wario in the end.
Always a good climax. That's, I don't know why there aren't more video games with Wario as an antagonist.
Also, he was fucking giant in that game. Like, your little Mario was like, I don't know, say like 3 pixels tall, 2 pixels wide, and then there's Wario, who's like 6x5, just like a big stocky dude. He's like, oh man, I'm gonna get fucked up.
He exerts gravity, for sure.
What's, like, besides the weirdness, what's compelling about this game? Like, is it just that you don't know what to expect, or like, is the actual, like, gameplay fun? Have they jazzed that up? Like, is there a triple jump now? I don't know.
There is a triple jump.
Oh shit.
As a matter of fact.
Cool.
A la Super Mario 64. Yeah.
So, I've never played that, so I don't know.
There are a couple of power-ups you can get that just make the game way harder. Like, you never stop running. You never stop jumping. So if you ever get bored with how things are going and you feel like you're a real pro, you just strap one of those on and everything becomes difficult again.
Oh, I love that. That's super good.
But it's mostly just nice for like people who have gotten used to the same, which has been a lot of side scrollers for Mario for a while. They're like, all they're all just kind of the same thing over and over again. You got to jump up on the thing. You got to not fall in the hole, land on top of the head, all that stuff. And there is still that for sure. But there are, you know, like for the first time, as far as I'm aware, enemies need to worry about jumping on your head when you get a drill power up.
Oh, okay. That's kind of fun.
Usually the hazard of Mario games is you jump into something and you get hurt. No more. Now you hurt going up, you hurt coming down.
Okay. Okay. I was about to ask, like, is the drill so heavy that you're not allowed to jump anymore? But you answered my question before I even asked it.
Nope. Just as mobile. It's very good. You're also a big, big elephant, and you can do trunk punches.
Does your trunk turn into a fist trunk?
It does not turn into a fist trunk, but you do trunk punches.
Okay, I'll allow it. So that's dope. That sounds really fun. I'm kind of in a similar boat, not so with Mario, but with being laid up with a bad back. I don't really have anything to do other than consume media. And I don't normally do that kind of stuff, but I've been playing a lot of video games. I've been reading a lot of manga. Still not watching a whole lot of TV. although I did start watching Mobile Suit G Gundam again, which I don't know if you ever watched it on Toonami as a kid, but it's what if Gundam was a shonen tournament anime? I see you thinking. I see you remembering delving back into your brain.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised there's not a good dozen of those already, actually.
I mean, there might be. I never liked Gundam other than Mobile Suit G Gundam or Mobile Fighter G Gundam. I don't remember what the full title is. It's just G Gundam. But yeah, I never really cared for big robots. But now we have edgy boy in robot. Now we're talking. My favorite part of it is actually in the reuse of animation and lines to save budget, because every episode you get the classic, "This hand of mine burns and roars. It tells me to defeat you. I give you my love, my anger, and all of my sorrow." Every episode. It's so fucking good.
Those are big feelings.
Oh, sure. My God. And like the voice actor, he gives it his all in everything that Domon Kashu says. And it's just the best. And it's got the campy fucking old anime music with like a lot of the dun dun duns. It's so, so good. Big fan of that. But other than that, I need to remind you, Connor, that Skindred is a band, which I'm sure I've recommended to you in the past, but I don't think you've listened to. But they are ska metal.
Oh. Huh. There's a decent chance I listen to them. Every now and then I hear you make a few recommendations of ska but blank.
Yeah.
Ska but Japanese was a good one.
Nihon Ska Dansu.
Yeah, that was good. Not good enough for me to remember the name of the album. Or
I just remember Lion Bite. Lion Bite.
That's a good one. I mean, it's the only, as far as I remember, the only English in that album. So that makes it a lot easier to remember.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I'm definitely there with you. But yeah, Skindred, they're like this ska metal band. I only know their album Roots Rock Riot, but I got into them with the song Rat Race off of that, and it's really fucking good. Highly recommend, because like the guy definitely has like a, I don't know if it's like a reggae affectation to his voice, but it's that kind of style, if you're catching my drift. But yeah, then he also goes into growls and shouts. It's just like, hell yeah, motherfucker, keep this shit up.
Okay, what would you say the ratio is of ska to metal?
Definitely more metal than ska.
Okay.
But in the way that, so it's like the instrumentation's very metal, very alternative in that kind of vein. But mm-hmm. because the singer is so melodic in most of his delivery, it feels more ska until he does like the whoas and stuff that I can't do because I'm not a metal singer.
Cool. All right. Well,
this has been Evan's Music Recommendations, the podcast, a podcast within a podcast.
Can I attempt to balance out your what I'm sure are good media recommendations with a recommendation for a very good hate watch because the show is so terrible?
Is it I Want to Be the Strongest in the World, because we had that on the last episode, Connor?
Nope, not that one. Nope. All right, hate watch.
What's the hate watch for this week?
Stanley Tucci, David Tennant. You might think that's a winning combo. They barely ever interact. And the whole thing is very, very Stephen Moffat-centric for the writing. so Stephen Moffat centric that his son is an actor in the show.
Okay.
It is called The Man Inside. It is 4 hour long episodes. Okay. Find it on Netflix. It is baffling. You spend the whole time yelling at the screen.
Okay. All right. Just makes me think of that H. Bomber Guy video about why Sherlock is bad.
I recently watched that because you turned me on to H. Bomber Guy about 6 months ago. And in the meantime, I've caught up on everything in his library that looked interesting to me. That video reaffirmed a feeling I had, but I couldn't put into words from years and years ago. And he explained me to me as he described Sherlock.
Cool. I am actually, amusingly enough, going through his catalog again. It's just like every now and then I need to just re-up on like all of the H-Bomber Guy videos. And apparently we've synced up.
Well, one of his big criticisms of Stephen Moffat's writing style is that he is far, far better at putting the bait on the hook than actually supplying
the fish.
The bait at the end of the day. Yes, he never brings it home. That happens. There's one extremely notable situation in The Man Inside, but mostly the problem with it is that the main characters spend all of their time making the worst possible decisions, all the while proclaiming, I had no other choice. I had to. And you're thinking, you had to walk by, you had to kick 8 good decisions in the face on the way to get to the choice you actually made.
You actively chose to not have another choice.
There were so many obvious choices that were all way better than what you decided.
Very cool.
Basic premise is through some outrageous misunderstanding, a tutor of a vicar, which is Englishy priest, as far as I can tell.
Sounds right.
So the vicar's son is being tutored by this woman. The woman thinks that the son has committed a terrible crime. And the vicar is trying to convince her, don't go to the police with this. I promise my son did not do anything.
Okay.
And through a series of insane decisions, she winds up chained in his basement.
What?
Yes.
How do we get here?
The propensity of people to fall down the stairs in this show is incredible.
Just a lot of people with the slippies?
they slip all the way down the stairs, and there's someone standing at the top of the stairs going, whoops, didn't mean to make that happen. And so the decisions that they all make, and this is the A plot. The B plot is Stanley Tucci is on death row and he's a detective for some reason. Yep, that's it. Nope. I was going to try to explain. There is no explanation. No,
that's why I stopped myself.
But the vicar, the vicar's wife, and the woman who is chained in the basement, they all make such absurd decisions. My wife and I wound up nicknaming them Father Bad Decisions, Mother Bad Choices, and Lady Weird Strats. Because the way that she goes about being chained up in someone's basement is bizarre. It's not bad most of the time. It's really good, but it's always weird.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a hate consumption kind of thing. I will not get there, but I support all who do.
Go with God.
Go with God.
Certainly no one who wrote this show did.
Well, let's go with God into our questions. And our first question of the day is lucky number 13. Hey, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
What's your persona?
How did this ever get past the censors?
Because I didn't ask you. I just put it on there.
Oh, well, that would explain it. Okay. I guess we've tightened things up a little bit in the meantime.
It's a question I want an answer to, Connor. What is your persona? If you were a furry animal, what would it be?
Oh, goodness me. I think a bat would be just too much work. No. You know what? I'm going into this with the wrong attitude. Yeah. If I stop and think, my fursona is going to be lazy. That's not how you win at being a furry. It's just not. You've got to be prepared to put in the work.
You just sound like a three-toed sloth to me.
That would also be, that I think, actually a pretty difficult fursuit to put together. It would be okay. Very ironic. Yeah, I'm going to go with a bat. And I wish I knew more about those little fucked up faces they have. But I want a bat with the most fucked up face.
Like the ones with the pig noses?
With the pig noses and like the four or five different layers of skin around the pig nose. And like the ears that have just fold after fold after fold after fold to capture all that teeny tiny little bitty sonar information.
Okay. Yeah.
And then on the wings, glitter. Every time I raise my arms, a puff of glitter.
Oh, I love that. That's very good. Big fan of that. Okay. I assume you'd be going to like raves then.
Where wouldn't I go, Evan? I'd go
That's
everywhere.
That's a great point. Man, if I had like just like glitter emanating from me, I feel like I would be a lot more confident in a lot more situations. It's like, damn, motherfucker, I'm here.
It's the perfect flourish for any entrance.
Brightens up any night, gives a little pizzazz to any day. Okay, very cool. Are you gonna go full vampire when it comes Halloween, or are you gonna like vary your flavors?
I think when you say Halloween, are you talking about my fursona's costume on top of the fursona? Like fursuit I'm already wearing?
Yes.
Then no, not a vampire. I would go totally different route. Probably something else in the classic monster genre, a mummy, I think. Probably go mummy.
That's cute. I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. That's very fun.
Yeah, mummy glitter bat. On Halloween, rest of the day, glitter bat.
Oh, man. And like, your wrappings are not the cloth, but just different colored streamers.
Yeah, keep the party alive. Disco,
party mummy bat.
Disco is not dead. It has been reanimated.
Disco party mummy glitter bat. how many adjectives can we throw on top of this?
It's beautiful in its simplicity.
Oh, I love it. It's very good. That's a very strong answer. Yeah, no, this is definitely something I've put a lot of thought into myself.
I did not know this. Okay, well, in that case, I'm really glad. This is, here's the secret, everybody. When you want to throw a fun new conversation starter out there, it's 60% just an excuse to share your answer about you and what you think and how you feel about the world.
Partially, yes. But also, it's fun to have weird conversations and to watch people's weird faces, and then you just got to coax them. Just coax them a little bit. Like,
yeah,
hey, man.
Coax them. Yeah. Yeah, give them a little coax. Well, so Evan, you require no coax. Tell me, what is your persona?
Our artist who did our logo for this lovely podcast, shout out to Mindy. Thank you, Mindy. We love you, Mindy. She does a lot. She draws, like, a lot of cats and stuff. So we were talking about, like, fursonas at one point, and how hers would be one of like those Sphinx cats, like the naked ones, because she shaves her head.
That's an incredibly ironic fursona,
right?
I love
that. Great?
That's an excellent answer.
Have all bald, have like fun like sweaters and shit. Really get to stylize that way. I think she said she'd put tattoos on it, but that got our conversation going about mine, and we both came up with a similar idea separate from one another, and it ended up that I would be some type of like ermine, so like an otter or a ferret or a stoat, because I'm like a very wiggly boy.
Like them fancy shoulder huggers, You get them stuffed. You like make them bite each other's faces, and then you just hold it around your neck. Is that what we're talking about?
Maybe. I don't know. Just, you know what a ferret looks like, dude?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I know what a ferret looks like.
Yeah, just think of something like that in that family, like a stoat.
Like a stoat.
Yeah, because like I'm tall, I'm skinny, I'm wiggly, I'm kind of like a cuddly, comfy boy. I got a lot of, it's mostly the wiggles though. I've got a lot of weird energy that I need to get out in like spasmodic fashion. Kind of like a wiggly boy. So yeah. That's how we're coming up with that.
That's awesome. The legs would go so low. Like,
yeah.
It would be like wearing a zoot suit or like hammer pants all the time.
Okay. I like how you're going full costume and everything. Like, yeah. I never had any desire to like dress up as mine. I would just have a fursona.
May I introduce you to the realities of putting your costume together? Because that's once fair. You do that, you can figure out a good crevice for glitter to go in.
Oh, I could be a glitter stoat.
Yeah, right. All right, write this one down, Evan. Follow-up question. Where does the glitter come out?
Where does the glitter go?
And where do you put the glitter?
So yeah, no, that's that. That's that. I just...
What color?
Glitter or... fur.
Yes, both, of course.
Okay. I have to go Major Alex Louise Armstrong from Full Metal Alchemist and stick with pink glitter because it's a classic.
Excellent.
Also because Moynihan said if I ever take anabolic steroids, he would walk behind me as I cosplayed Major Alex Louise Armstrong and throw the pink glitter whenever I show up. Which makes me want to take anabolic steroids so much more than I ever want to admit. Like,
I gotta tell you, probably the best motivation to take steroids I've ever heard.
I fall into bodybuilding exercise rabbit holes. That stuff will trash your fucking body. Like, it is not worth it. But man, I think about it. For the memes. But yeah, definitely pink glitter. And as far as color, if we're living in the world where I am like you and have a bunch of fursona suit money, I wouldn't want to do white because that would just get filthy. And I think a lot of fun with like the furry designs are that you get like crazy colors and shit. So I think like a burnt sienna orangey type of fur would be really fun on a big old wiggly boy. I think that's nice. what I want to do. And I think my fursona would have a neckerchief.
I like it. Could I maybe talk you into a white ermine fursuit alternative for fancy winter affairs?
Oh, like a black tie event. My white fur event. Oh, I love that. Yes. Yes, you may. Do you have any more slices of fried gold to throw at me?
I do not. That's it. I'm plumb out of excellent fursona ideas.
I love it. See? Look how easy that was. That's how this question got on the podcast, Connor, because it was a good one. Fuck you. I don't need your approval, Dad.
I'm
my own man. I want to talk about furries.
I do need to talk about, since we're talking costume.
Oh, please.
If you're going to do the hairless cat, someone needs to make realistic feeling skin for your costume.
Oh, man.
And I think that's probably the perfect way to send somebody down a Cruella de Vil-esque villain arc.
Just like Buffalo Bill, but for cats.
It's just half Texas Chainsaw Massacre, half 101 Dalmatians.
Mr. Burns. you know that those cats are covered in like oil, right?
No, yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah, because they don't have the fur to keep out a barrier. They like naturally have like more active like oil glands, sweat glands, whatever. Yeah, so like dirt sticks to them. So like if they sit on your lap and you're in like a lighter colored outfit and they get off, you'll have dark splotches where they were hanging out.
Oh God.
Yeah. So that's the price you pay for hypoallergenic pet ownership, Connor.
I mean, people did it. People stopped having so much hair. We're not that greasy. We're pretty greasy, but we don't leave pools of grease behind us.
I mean, maybe if you bathe yourself with your tongue.
Yeah. Yeah, that does change a lot of things.
Yeah, I think the invention of running water and industrial grade soap has changed our grease content.
That's a fact. Although I gotta say, I don't know that we'd be all that much more pleasant if we were covered in fur. Anyway,
I think it depends on how well one's grooming pattern is. You know, if you take care of yourself, of course you're gonna have wonderful, lush. Like, think about the pets with really healthy coats. They're a joy to pet, but as opposed to ones that, you know, are on like a less healthy diet or whatever, and their coats are a little bit more matted, a little bit more tough, it's a little less pleasant. Just, you know, what you give is what you get.
I tell you what, if we did have fur, bats would definitely win the war against showers, for sure. We would have tubs of like wicked soapy, like bubbly, warm sauna type things you just drop into beginning of every day.
Man, I also just would love to do the dog shake and get dry.
Yeah, that would be to make that noise.
Yeah.
I think with your body, that would be a good way to start a day.
I love when the cats wake up and they just like fucking shake their head so hard that I think that they're like starting a prop plane. that's one of my favorite things. It's like, oh, Salem's taking off.
Yeah. The deep stretches also just very fun to watch.
Oh my!
I don't know why we don't stretch like that.
I mean, yoga with Adrian, baby.
Yeah.
It's the cat part of the cat cow. It's so weird watching the cats get up from sleep. I'm just like, you're literally doing a cat cow right now. Fuck you.
The original masters. Where did we learn it from?
Yeah, and trust me, I tried. Can't right now. Number 82, Connor. 82. If you're a fodder in an RPG, what loot are you dropping?
Ew, gosh. I don't think it would be all that useful.
I've got mine in the can. I'm cutting in. I'm dropping like $7 and broken CDs.
Broken CDs.
Oh yeah, no, dude. Because I'm just a mob, man. Like, I'm not like a boss. You're not getting like an actual quest item from me. I get the broken CD that you sell for like 42 gold.
Well, tell me at least you've got to have a like 1 out of 100 chance of dropping a non-broken CD.
You know, I'll give you that. I'd probably have a low drop rate for the CD. Ooh, it'll probably be like a headphone accessory. It won't be a CD, but it'll be a headphone. So like I'm definitely thinking of Ragnarok Online right now. I'm just going to be straight up with you.
Of course.
So yeah. My main drops, like, you'd get like a couple of bucks, because I always try to carry just like a little bit of cash on me, just like $5 and a couple of singles, so $7 roughly, just enough to, just in case, like, you know, doesn't take the card, I can cover the parking. But I always got like I've got a bunch of CDs. Like, you've seen how many CDs I fucking own.
Loads.
And, you know, like, they're not really pertinent in this existence anymore, so that's a good thing to just sell for gold. Mm-hmm. And to stick with the music theme, for, you know, your character avatar, I would have some headphones to pop on, and you'd be like, it'll give like +2 to like your whatever your spell casting is, and it'll like
resistance to deafening.
Oh yeah, yep, that'll be there. And I think like +15 to your mana. Not a lot, but like enough to just like, you know, maybe do like one of your like old lower level spells.
Yeah, just a little something something.
Yeah, but I'm definitely that. I mean, I'm wearing a band shirt right now. I'm a fucking dork. I'm definitely like weird hipster alternative dude in this thing. Like think of somebody that Scott Pilgrim would kick in the face.
What biome do you think you'd be in? Where would you be found? Dropping broken CDs and headphones.
I'd be pretty close to the like whatever the metropolis of the game is.
Yeah.
Like kind of like the high tech city where like the shopping center is, where you get like the weird shit, where you can buy like, I don't even know, you know, just like the weird like parts for some like steam engine or whatever. That's what I'd be in the field out there. And I think I'd probably be like a ranged character where my attacks would be sound waves from an amp.
Tight. That's good. And the broken CDs make perfect sense there.
Yep. Definitely. I found my theme and I let it ride. I'm a musician boy, real life and video game.
Okay. Well, I think I would be found in a wintry kind of spot.
Oh, you goddamn hyper winter.
I would get a life. I can't. I'm a mob. I'm being killed repeatedly. I am dropping tattered flannel.
Oh yeah, that's very good. Yep.
I think like 10 of them can be broken down into usable cotton. And you could sell that.
You're part of like a accessory quest where it's like, bring me the dye, you know, 800 gold and 15 pieces of tattered flannel.
Yes. And under no circumstances would anyone be able to pick up the flannel that I am wearing.
Yep.
It would be infuriating. I think there's a chance the tattered flannel would also be a different color than the flannel my mob wears for no reason. But
I like that.
I think if you go way out of your way, you can craft the flannel.
Yep.
Potentially using the cotton you pick up, but lots of other stuff too.
But it will either be buttoned or unbuttoned, whatever is the inverse of your character.
Yep. Not exactly the same, for sure.
Right. So I have to ask, are you going to like stick with stereotypes and also drop like a low level axe weapon?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I think, yeah, probably I'd get, I'm getting caught in my lumberjack mode. So
yep.
I think a throwing axe or a hatchet, you know, something like that. Nothing really all that usable at that point in the game. It's not really going to be helpful. You've got better things. It's better to just walk up to somebody. But
right.
Yeah, a throwing hatchet, just every now and then.
Okay. No, I like that. So, are you like, you're in the winter biome, but are you close to a town or are you like in that meandering middle ground?
I think it's pretty outside of town. I think it's deep in the woods.
Okay.
Oh, but you know what? I do want some monster on monster attack going on, because wherever this part of the map is, it's not going to be just the Mies, there will be wolves or some other winter beast.
Definitely.
And you can definitely get them to run into each other and kill each other.
I think that like the MVP of your biome has to be like the Yeti.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Have a real low spawn rate, which is like show up also in a different flannel.
Yes. And that one you do get to pick up.
Yeah.
Because that's a respectable enemy.
Yeah,
not
it's like
me.
The golden flannel.
Yeah.
I like that. That's really good.
Yeah, the resistance to cold that you could pick up from that.
It has like a stupidly comparable to like actual heavy armor defense. It's like, wow, how does this make sense?
Yeah.
It does. It doesn't. You're just rolling with it.
Right there in the description. Incredibly plush, fantastic, and unbelievably good protection.
Smells lightly of cedar and tobacco.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. Oh, man. I gotta say, we got some good drops here. I like what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm into it. I like it.
It's very fun. We should play Ragnarok if I can ever connect with Eiko again, but I deleted her phone number on accident, and it's one of the biggest regrets of my life, because remember, I deleted my entire phone.
Your entire phone, dude. Man, that just never stops coming back to bite you.
It doesn't. But I think of her often, and Eiko, if you're listening, I love you. Please text me. moving on. Number 95. Hey, Connor. Your life has changed. You're no longer a psychiatrist. You're working at the zoo. What animals do you take care of?
Psychologist. I'll never stop correcting people about that.
I never remember which one you are, so I just say psych, and the other syllables just fall out.
But it's irrelevant, because I'm not doing that anymore. I'm taking care of animals at the zoo. I think I would want to take care of the octopus enclosure that we really shouldn't have.
Right.
We're not set up to take care of aquatic creatures, especially not of this intelligence. And so I think I take care of the octopuses.
Okay. Oh, man. I don't like the Beatles, but I want to make Beatles joke. I'm not going to do it. So are you just going to set up different puzzles for it to get out of, because they can crawl through like really, really small sized holes?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get all kinds of stimulating intellectual things for them to do. And I will have a series of layers of escape that I plan for. You know, so there's like the actual, you really can't get out. It would be dangerous, but you can, if you can get to like almost to that point, that's a really good day for my octopus buddies.
Okay. Cool. I like it. How many octopi are in this display?
They're pretty solitary. So I think I want to say three. Three feels like a good cast of octopuses in different tanks, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I see it. I like it. How excited are you to talk to the guests about different fun facts of your octopus friends?
So excited. I am so ready, because so many of the octopus fun facts are really fun for everybody, not just animal nerds.
Okay.
You know, octopuses, each of their arms think on their own in addition to being coordinated by a central brain. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's like the Trinity. Independent, but together.
Yeah, no, it like the neurology is set up so friggin' weird, and each tentacle can think for itself, and like the intelligence is just distributed throughout the octopus in some ways.
Cool. That's isn't that so wild? Cool.
They have blue blood. Don't know why, but they do.
Okay.
They just want copper instead of iron.
Do they have like regenerative capabilities at all?
I don't know. I would know if I did take care of the octopuses. But
yeah, it's just part of the training.
I think they do.
Okay. I sure don't know. I just like when I'm at an aquarium or whatever, talking to the people and being like, hey, what's that thing? And then watching them light up and get really excited. So I get excited and start asking more questions. And then Leah's like, can we go, please?
I'm surprised. I feel like if Leah found an animal person that she's interested in, she would have loads of fun talking to them.
She definitely does.
You just take it too far.
It's just me in public.
Uh-huh.
You know, with Leah's character, she's less like be seen, like ignore me so I can continue on with my life. And I'm like, shut up, motherfuckers, I'm here.
Yep, let's get it over with. Here I am. You know me now.
I need to learn a thing, and I don't care that you're here.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of the penguins. I think more about aquariums than zoos. And I've always, I always really liked the penguin exhibit at the Boston Aquarium. That was always really fun to check out. And I just love the idea of feeding those little bastards and all these just like little shin high shitheads running up to me, just like howling for their dinner, and just getting to watch them choke down fish in a really weird way. I think that'd be really fun.
That does sound like fun.
And, you know, like, they're going to be, like, more, like, docile. So, you know, I can actually, like, chill and fuck with them a bit. So, like, I get to touch a penguin. And, like, maybe I get to watch them, like, do the slide thing like I've seen on TV.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you can make it happen. You take care of them. You go to the head of the zoo and you say they need the slide thing. But really, in your heart, you're thinking, I need them to have the slide thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
I should have known you'd find a way to take care of birds in the zoo.
Why?
You love birds. You're a bird guy.
I don't know why.
You just like a bird.
I would never want to keep a bird, but like I love birds. They're so dumb.
You love birds. Well, now you're going to take care of lots of birds.
That's true. I'm taking care of all them penguins. They're my little friends.
Do you know enough about penguins to know which kinds of penguins you would want to take care of?
No, but I know that I like emperor penguins because they've got the eyebrows.
Wait, do they?
Yeah. Yeah, look them up. They're the ones with like the yellow eyebrows. They're like, bleh.
I don't think so, man. I think there are a few, but you might be thinking of macaroni penguins. The emperor penguins are just real big.
What the fuck?
Stately. Hence the name.
Oh, shit. Which, I could have sworn that they were emperor penguins. What is the penguin with the eyebrows?
I can tell you, Fiordland crested penguins have the eyebrows. I get to see those when I was in New Zealand.
Cool.
Also known as the Tawaki.
Apparently, rockhopper penguins have eyebrows and also fucking liberty spikes. So it's the answer is now them.
Kick ass.
Yeah, they red eyes, orange beaks, long chrome yellow crest feathers like wild eyebrows. What's up, motherfucker? Do you want to play bass in my band?
Fucking decked out.
Love it. Yes, please. God, give that guy some fucking piercings and just like a snake tattoo and we are set. Oh, man. I love this podcast. I've now learned about rockhopper penguins and now it's all I can think about.
I hope that those are the penguins that tell each other they love their mates by bringing them shiny rocks.
In my heart, that's what they are.
Yeah.
That's just also what I want everything to be.
Why can't we just give each other shiny rocks to say, I love you?
I mean, we kind of do with diamonds.
We kind of do.
What kind of gemstone would you want to be given?
We're not so different, you and I, penguin. Yeah, I think really nice polished onyx.
Oh, that's very good. Very good. I guess it's more of the stone in the gemstone.
Yeah, yeah. What about that's you? Fun. What about you?
I'm a sucker for red, so just give me a ruby.
Big old ruby.
I liked rubies in video games because they would like boost fire, and I always liked the fire characters. So that's
a good reason to like rubies.
And they're very pretty. Emeralds are also gorgeous. Such a pretty green. Get your guy flowers and gemstones, people. They deserve it too.
They do. I will say, word of caution, if you're going to take care of those penguins, you have to be very careful not to accidentally fall into a children's story. Happens all the time.
Okay.
Mr. Popper's penguins, just...
Madagascar.
There you go. Happy Feet.
I feel like Mary Poppins had penguins, even though I've never seen Mary
they
Poppins,
did.
But I think I've seen penguins on the Mary Poppins commercials.
Yep. Yep. Should you see Mary Poppins? It's probably too late.
My answer is no. No, I shouldn't.
No, how would you know? You've never seen it.
Because I've decided the course of my life, motherfucker.
Yeah, wow. Well,
I'm allowed.
All right.
The person I am now feels this way and decides this. Maybe things will change in the future, but as with all of these questions, the answers are the person you are in this moment. You are allowed to change and grow.
That's right. Okay, we'll go forward Poppins free.
Poppins free. All right, let's go forward into our last question of the night. This is fucking flown by, my dude. Question number 89. What is your least favorite office jargon? We're all in those meetings. We hear the words and phrases that people use all the time, even though they don't mean anything. Like, stop saying circle back We're going to circle back to the shut the fuck up. We're going to come back to it. We can talk about it later. Why do we need to walk in a circle? Why is it? You're just wasting. If we're going in a circle, we're wasting my fucking time. Let's come to an answer of this or talk about it later. We don't need to circle back. Just stop wasting my life. I need to be doing anything else than sitting in this goddamn meeting with you at 10 o'clock in the fucking morning. Why do you think I care? This doesn't matter. Stop it. Let me go watch YouTube and write my blogs in peace. That's my least favorite office jargon. Please stop circling back. It's not very good. It's such an it's just one of those phrases that just it just crawled into the back of my neck and just walks right up to my head every time I hear it. I'm just like, why? Shut up. Just shut up.
Nobody says that.
I'm sure you're a nice, smart person, but please shut up.
If you absolutely must, you can put a pin in it. Only yep. If you can't help yourself.
That's fine. That's okay. But it just reminding me of the uselessness of my job by going in circles is not what I want to hear. Being a wage slave.
Yeah, circling back is usually a really bad thing to do. In a literal sense, I think of being on a hike and circling back.
You can double back. That's fine. You're checking for stuff. Like you're actively taking steps forward in the solution sense by going backwards. But when you're just going in circles, you're wasting everybody's fucking time.
You're feeling lost. You've got no direction.
If you're using that phrase, it means we don't need to talk about this right now. And it's okay to admit that we don't need to talk about it right now. I've gotten critiques from supervisors that I'm too blunt. Because I will just straight up say, we're not making progress on this. Next part of the question, please. Time's precious.
Time is precious. Some would even say that it's money.
Some would say money is the root of all evil.
That jogged loose a memory of... Gosh, it was like some very... It was an inane... like girlfriends are the root of are evil, and like there was a mathematical proof for it.
I was actually thinking about that and seeing if you would catch it. It's Dimitri Martin.
Yeah. Ah, all right, cool. He put out a new special a little while ago. I need to check it out.
I would like to see that as well. Yeah. I really enjoyed him when I was younger.
Yeah.
Did we ever see him together?
I don't think I've ever seen him live.
We did.
We
now
did.
Now I'm thinking about. I think it was at the Rivoli Theater in Boston. Was it the Rivoli? I just remember we were in the balcony and he tried to some heckler started talking to him and he tried to do some crowd work with her and you were like, he didn't do a very good job.
It doesn't really seem like it would be his strong suit. No,
it wasn't, and you didn't think so then. Sorry for asking you a question, you answering it, and me saying, no, you're wrong. Here's the actual memory that we had together.
No, listen, man, that's a huge benefit of having other people to remember my life for me. That's why I make friends, so I can make memories with them and have them hold on to them.
Well, I'm grateful to be your friend, bud. I know you're not in an office. Do psychologists, that's what you are?
Yes. Very
cool.
Good.
Again, I knew the psych part. I'm like, fuck, what's the other syllables? I don't remember. You're a psychologist, so do you have a lot of meetings? Do you get office speak?
There are meetings, but it never really feels like office speech, where it's like a whole different language. And the other jobs I've held have all been food service.
Okay.
So I've never really had to deal with this personally. What I do hate from a distance for other people is using the term family in an office setting.
Oh, right up there with fucking rock star.
Oh, that's, oh yeah. Okay.
Oh man. I haven't thought about rock star in a long time, but for some reason, family really just pulled that one up out of me. And it's like, no, I would like to be playing music right now. Okay, yes, please. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why is family griping you?
It's just so manipulative. It's I'm sure, I'm positive there are loads of handfuls of businesses.
At least one business.
a plural amount of businesses where everybody who works there from top to bottom really does care about what they're doing. And they care about their fellow employees and employers. And everybody gets along so well, they have truly meaningful relationships. And that is precious and beautiful. And I'm really happy for them if they exist. But you can't just say, this is a family. We're like family here. You can't, because you're paying your family. And once they stop showing up, you fire them. That's not how family works.
Like, I get all the same abuse at work that I do with my family, but like, my family don't pay me. I wish they did. I can't get rid of my family. I can leave a job.
So little of family status is based on utility. Everything about your position in any business is whether you can do something useful.
Yeah.
And just, it's never really happened to me. It's one of those things, like how I hate people owning birds from a distance, and I'm sad for the other people that have to go to their houses or who live there. It's never happened to me, but I can just imagine looking at somebody in charge of me at a big meeting, and they try to convince me that they care about me.
Oh my God.
And saying, we're like a family here, and wanting to flip a series of tables all at once.
Like, at work, I will straight up tell people, like, you're a person first to me. Like, I don't care about the job at the end of the day. Like, your health and wellness matters more to me. But like, that's not family. That's just caring about a person.
Yeah.
Like, if you're family, I would reluctantly see you at holidays.
So yeah, no, I hate that concept. And like, the idea of a supervisor telling the supervisor, well, you got to make them feel like you care about them. So just act like you're tell them you're family. Say that you're family.
Or how about you actually care about them?
Or you just care about them and actually do good things for them that might be better for the people than it is for the business.
See as a person as their inherent fucking value for having a goddamn life and soul.
And that does not reach family levels either.
Nope. God, I don't know if you ever do this, but like every now and then, like I'll be, fuck, I'll probably be doing it with you now that I'm talking about it, but it'll mostly happens with my family, where like I'll be talking to my dad or my bocce, and like I'll actually look at them, because like you look at your family, but you don't always look at your family, and then you start being like, oh wait, no, you are a person in and of yourself, like externally of me, like you are not just an extension in relation to me, you are a single individual. Oh my God, you are a person, and you are aging, and you are different, and what the, and then the tears start coming and they're like, oh God, why is Evan crying in the middle of a conversation again?
Yeah, the idea that your uncle is not just an uncle, and that's probably like 25th in line of important identities he carries.
Yeah, it's wild. I also really don't like work hard, play hard.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like work hard.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No, that sounds like you're going to overwork me and then make me come to really unfun mandatory functions. You know what I want to do? I want to work a little and then take it easy.
Yeah, work a little, take it easy. That's a much easier credo to live by.
It's honest.
Yeah. Well, that's just not allowed in an office setting, Evan, as you have heard, for being too blunt.
Oh boy. Yeah. But what I'm going to be honest about in this moment is that we're at the end of the podcast. You didn't need to listen this far, but you did, and we appreciate it. Don't got a whole much lot to say. Really enjoyed this podcast. I'm glad that y'all stuck around. I'm glad that you did this with me yet again, Connor. If people want to hang out with us, you can catch us on the social medias at
lemonanswers@gmail.com. No, that was the wrong part. No. Oh, I've been so good at this lately. At the answer's a lemon. The answer's a lemon on social media.
We're on like all the socials. And if you want to get your own questions asked and answered on the podcast, you can send us an email at Connor.
Lemonanswers@gmail.com.
That is lemonanswers@gmail.com.
You tricked me today, Evan. You tricked me.
I didn't even mean to. It just came out in reverse this time. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we're both stupid.
It is what it is, man.
All right. I love you. Bye.
So long.